Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week where two to three old guys talk about a game that's really not that old.
It looks kind of old.
It is the old style. Yeah. You're right. It follows the old ways. It follows the gods of shit. I feel really bad. My Game of Thrones foo is like failing me on an epic level.
Oh, the weirwoods and all that?
Yeah.
Not the new
gods, but the old gods.
Yeah, the old gods.
Okay, yeah.
Well, we're off to a great start.
Yeah,
we're the ones drinking.
Because like I couldn't get together,
Tyler. No, I don't even have any hooch.
The worst part of it is like I couldn't even help you on that. And it was like, yeah, I've read that, but I don't know. They pray at the tree.
Those trees that have like faces.
Yeah, yeah. Those. We have one of those.
Tree-faced gods. We do.
We do at Noble Park.
It grew like that naturally.
It's fucked up because when I was reading Game of Thrones and they were talking about those trees with the faces, mm-hmm. all I could imagine in my mind the entire time was the fucking Chief Paduke tree that we've got. So I'm envisioning like this racist Native American face on a tree the entire time. It's very like serious, gritty fantasy novel.
Well, today we're going to be talking about, I believe it's now a shit ton of platforms, Shovel Knight.
Shovel Knight.
And to talk about Shovel Knight, we have brought on Shovel Knight expert Ramon Frederico Castillo III.
Wait, what?
Yes.
I don't know anything about this game.
That's you. Oh well, that's okay. John Trilly doesn't know anything about the games either. It'll just be fun.
I totally love this game.
Ramon, I thought you made this game. Am I misinformed?
Why do you always carry around that shovel then, if you're not a big Shovel Knight fan?
It's for my bullshit. like you do.
But first, I'm your beard host, Tyler. And I was trying to rack my brain about what to think about for an intro story. And my first thing was I wanted to think about a regretful recall. And then I started having a few. And I've realized I have a tick whenever I have a regretful recall. I can't help but make a weird noise anytime I have a regretful recall.
Like on the show?
It's like, or just in person, like the shame built up in my head that I have to go, or something. If I'm by myself, yeah. I just have to make a weird noise and probably like a weird karate-like gesture.
That's your shame valve.
Just to release some of the shame.
That's good. We all need one of those.
But I was thinking about, because I knew Ramon was going to be on, because Ramon was witness to me asking a girl out, and I went out on the date, but it was weird, and the way I asked her out was even weirder, because I think I've briefly mentioned about this in the show before, that it was when Ramon and I lived together, and I was doing a play with this one girl, and I had her phone number from the college sheet, and I called her and was talking to her.
Ramon made the shame release valve noise.
And I remember, like, I'm on our couch in the living room, and Ramon is like, Ramon and Link are standing like 5 feet away from me, watching me do this. And when I'm talking to her, I'm just like, "Hey, yeah, we're doing the practice today, and you know, I just really like your style." And I see Ramon just like visibly shudder whenever I say that. And she kind of pauses. She's like, "Well, I like your style too, Tyrone." So I asked her out, and I'm thinking it's going to be a real date. Like, we're going to go to like Applebee's or something like that.
A
real date. So I'm here. I dress up and I go to her dorm to pick her up.
Wait. Oh, gotta stop you for a moment.
Uh-huh.
You dress up because you think you're going to Applebee's.
Yeah. it's a date.
Okay.
I put on a good sweater to Applebee's.
Okay, you're good then.
It's Applebee's, man.
It just depends, I guess, on your definition of dress up.
Yeah.
Because it's like you showed up at her doorstep with a tuxedo on. My lady.
a tuxedo and a fedora.
In a rose. You give her the rose.
To Applebee's.
A horse-drawn carriage.
My lady's pot stickers. But I pick her up, and she is wearing, like, no makeup, hair is up, sweats, and, like, flip-flops.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
great.
Okay, this is something different.
It's Captain D's attire.
So I ask her, you know, I ask her where she wants to go, and she's like, I really want to go to Wendy's.
I was close. Wendy's attire.
Yeah. And the Wendy's in Murray, like, the drive-thru is very busy, but, like, at night, not really anybody goes into Wendy's, and it's brightly lit, and everything's windows, so, like, anybody that drives by just sees, like, us alone in a Wendy's.
Oh, so you went in. That's good.
She wanted to go in, so we went in and sat at the Wendy's, and, like, we just eat chicken nuggets and have awkward conversation for a little while before I found out she just, like, she didn't want me to think it was, she didn't really like me. She didn't want it to be like a real date. So she intentionally dressed down and wanted to go to Wendy's.
She was like, Tyler really likes my style. Time to dial that down. Yeah. How's she doing now?
That style was done.
I was friends with her on Facebook for a little while. The strangest thing about her was like her voice. Her natural voice was very Donald Duck-esque.
Yeah.
Like, she would have been a good cartoon voiceover actress.
Can we get her on the show, you think?
I don't remember her last name.
That doesn't matter.
We can look.
We'll find her.
How many Liz's are out there?
We'll track her down. We'll get her. We'll record in the Wendy's if it makes her feel comfortable.
But I know a friend of mine who is more attractive than me also tried to, like, ask her out, mm-hmm. and it was a spectacular failure. So I didn't feel as bad when I found out things also didn't go well for him.
Unless it was like, what if he came back and was like, she found out that I know you.
She's like, oh, no.
That's awful.
And I remember, let's see, I asked out a girl in my math class. So this was, I don't know why, she was clearly like a bitch, but I don't know, I was into it for some reason. Like, she was the kind of girl that constantly tried to contradict the teacher and argue with him about every single point, like, during the entire class, to the point, like, he had to be like, let me try and teach, and then you interject at the end if you have a problem with it.
Is this college level or high school?
This is college.
Yeah.
So I remember, like, I'm not doing very well in the class. So after class, I start talking to her and ask her for help if we could study or something together. She's like, okay, sure, what dorm are you in? I was like, oh, I don't live in a dorm. I have an apartment. And it's as if I'm still baffled by this a little bit. Like, I don't know if, like, apartment translated to her as, like, rape den. Because whenever I said apartment, she just, like, completely, like, you just saw this sort of revulsion on her face that she was just, like, she really couldn't even talk to me. She just kind of sputtered and then just said no and walked away. So I don't know what happened there. I don't know if it's some girl dormitory girl's, like, faux pas I violated by saying that I had an apartment, but...
Yeah, that one's on her. Yeah. Yeah, that one's on her.
I don't know.
That's weird. I was always proud to not live on campus.
Mm-hmm.
I was, yeah, right? That's like a feather in my hat.
I wasn't supposed to.
No, I wasn't supposed to either. I totally lied about where I lived mm-hmm. in order to do it.
You're allergic to glasses.
Yes, exactly.
Like, of all kinds.
It almost came out, like, I think they found out I was living off campus and I was supposed to, because your first 2 years, you're supposed to live, either commute from home or live in the dorms.
Right.
So I lied and said I was commuting from home and then had an apartment.
Yep.
And I remember when I got arrested, apparently they found out and they were ready to charge me dorm fees until, like, a friend of mine, his mom worked in one of the offices mm-hmm. and just, like, kind of covertly, like, just sent things through, like, No, it's verified. It's fine. And I didn't get charged however many thousands of dollars for a dorm.
Whose job is that at the university to be like, hey, Bob, go through a bunch of local criminal records and I want you to cross-reference their addresses and make sure that they do, in fact, live where they say they live?
Oh, that's the campus commissioner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The same guys who give out,
the, like, commish.
All the parking, the fucked up parking pass system.
Oh my god!
Of Murray State University.
I disputed every one of those tickets I got.
Oh really?
Yeah, I never paid a ticket.
Oh man, I got so many. I think the worst was my second semester. I had $200 in parking parking pass. And that was mostly because, like, I would let Link drive my car to go to class, and he would just, like, park it in the middle of the parking lot and just go to class.
In the lawn.
Didn't matter. It's cheaper to park in the grass than it is in a handicapped spot. You get charged half the amount.
Yeah.
What's up, Internet? I'm Dave. I'm your respectable host. And I feel like I may have told this story before. I don't know. This is a shame story. And if I told it, it was way early on. I told you about, do you remember when I told you about, like, one of my first dates, and my mom was in the car with, like, the headlights on, and the girl was kissing me in the driveway?
Oh, okay, yeah,
and
yeah.
My mom gave me a hard time because it broke her heart or something. Something about not letting me go and
like
live.
Like, you splayed her out in the hood, like, while your mom was.
Right. Well, sometimes things like that happen.
Just getting some poon, mom. Fucking chill the fuck out.
Just getting some poon on the hood of this car. Don't turn the car off, please.
she likes the hum of the motor. Warm.
I need all the help I can get. I remember the first time that she and I were alone in my room together with the door closed.
A girl?
The same girl. We were pretty serious, obviously. She doesn't mind making out with me in front of my mom. I remember we're making out in my room, and things are getting a little hot and heavy. To quote Seinfeld, she's playing the saxophone, and I'm in the audience. And she looks at me. She's really been groping on my junk. Right?
Shwing chwong.
On my shwing chwong. My gooter. Yeah, it's my ween. my rock hard ween is just kind of out and about, and she's doing hand stuff, you know, like high schoolers do hand stuff, mm-hmm. Just painful.
Sometimes adults do too.
Yeah, so that's true.
Everybody loves a good old fashioned.
She doesn't mean to. Maybe she was just used to uncircumcised penises. I don't. What you got? Like that? You got that sleeve to work with. spoilers. I don't have that sleeve to work with. So she.
Phil, write that down in your journal. Now you know. Yeah. Another detail about Dave. In
your Tadpog dick journal. we know you have one. So she looks over at me and she says, "Do you want a BJ?" And I just kind of froze up because I had no idea what a BJ was. And I was afraid that it was going to be something like really weird because a girl had never touched my penis before. So I didn't know what to do. And I am a guy who errs on the side of caution typically. So I was, but I didn't want to let on to her that I didn't know what she was talking about because I didn't want to seem like a complete and total BJ noob. So I was just like, no, I don't think so. I'm just kind of, I don't know. I mean, this is fine. And she's like, she kind of looked at me like, I snapped a puppy in half and like, I don't know. It was really like, I knew by the expression on her face that my answer was not the correct one. So I start backpedaling, but I also want to stick to my guns. So I don't want to be like, oh yeah, totally. Let's look, you do the BJ thing, because I still am scared of what it is. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm not into it. So I'm stuck. So I'm kind of backpedaling. I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I mean, what you're doing right now is just, it's pretty nice. Oh. So that girl's a lesbian now.
There you go. All right.
And I feel partly responsible for that. But you know, if she's happy, then she didn't want to give the BJ to begin with.
That's true.
Because that's not a decision that she made.
To give the old Brandon Johnson. So assuming that's what that means.
Ramon, what about you? You got an intro story?
I mean, wow.
You sound entirely different. You sound like maybe we paused the show and you changed microphones or something.
Yeah, I had to. So my I'm not going to say the brand, but my very nice microphone.
Put them on blast, man. Who was it?
So my Blue Yeti.
You fucking Blue Yeti.
See, Blake had problems with his too a little bit last time.
Really?
Because he was trying to use his. Yeah,
his Blake's Blue Yeti was making him talk like this.
He would slow way down.
Yeah. I think it picks up too much is the problem for a small room.
Well, just likes to lift, I guess.
Bro, do you even Yeti? So, I remember now, because now that I can talk and not be hearing an echo, I remember being there when Tyler was asking that girl out. And I haven't changed much, to be honest, like, to this day. If somebody did that in front of me now, I'd probably be like, oh, God. You know?
So you become less tolerant. Instead of a just inaudible.
Well, that's what happens
cringe.
Is we all get older.
Yeah.
We all get less tolerant.
I've become more tolerant of a lot of things, but like embarrassing yourself, it just makes me die inside.
Yeah.
Because that's basically what I do for a living. Is just like if you embarrass yourself in front of people, like that many people, you might as well just hang it up or just shoot yourself. So. But anyway, hi, I'm Ramon of three other things I did fame. Oh, two other things I did fame, mm-hmm. Right? So we did Super Bomberman. Super Bomberman 2, yeah. I got to be more accurate. I apologize.
Mm-hmm, that's fine.
It's very specific. Super Bomberman 2, which is still the most highly acclaimed episode of the show ever created.
That's true.
Yeah. And Jungle Strike.
And Jungle Strike. And then last time we did Super Smash Bros. For 3DS.
Yep.
Which my son has stolen from me. Which is good that it's his birthday tomorrow because hopefully he will be getting...
Because that's his present.
Happy birthday, son.
Yeah. He's not listening to this show.
That's probably great. That's probably a really good idea.
You don't want him to hear about your dick soup in your storage unit?
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, dick soup. I totally forgot about that.
When did Chef Boyardee stop making that? Or
Salty. man, so... Regretful recalls. Oh man, I got so many. Let's see. Ooh. Okay, so my wife knows this one and she gives me crap for it all the time. And this all going out kind of boils down to the other Ramon Castillo, who both of you have met.
The other one, your clone?
The one I'm cloned of.
Oh, I see. Your father.
My father. I think, you know, if anybody knows my dad fairly well, and I think we mentioned him in passing, like, last time I did this, like, in half a sentence, and Tyler was like, yup. Like, all of our dads have distinct personalities. My dad is he's the scary dad.
I
kind of think that we all have the scary dad.
Yeah, but I mean, really, Tyler, who's scarier, your dad or my dad?
If you were to just look at them both on the street, your dad is much scarier. Your dad has he has more of a resting bitch face.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So
yeah.
He looks like he's angry.
Stern.
Yeah, like he's stern.
I mean, he literally almost made my brother pee his pants by like. Just sliding a door open with two fingers and saying, we need to talk. Okay? So, anyway.
And that's how your brother got fired from the family.
Yeah. So a long time ago, I guess, you know, back when I was in high school, which seems forever ago.
Because it was.
I had, of all my friends, I had the famous trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tyler, do you know where I'm going here?
No, I just you may have trampoline friends.
Trampoline is a
like,
big deal.
I recognize trampoline friends' rights.
Yeah, because that's how my dad, you know, showed his love is by buying things. Like he didn't show actual love, mm-hmm. but he would buy us things and be like, "Good job, son."
The holy grail of trampoline friend was a trampoline friend who was a girl.
Well,
or trampoline friend that had a pool.
Oh
as
yeah.
Well.
Oh, double
so you
threat.
Trampoline into the
into
pool.
The pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we didn't have a pool. Just because like we were right next to Noble Park, so I like had public pool access.
So you got to look at that tree all the time. That weirwood.
So anyway, but my trampoline, obviously, because you know my friends wanted to come over and play on the trampoline, but my trampoline was famous for another reason.
It killed kids.
Well, actually, it almost snapped back in half one time. But that's a story entirely. But that was the BJ trampoline.
Wait, can you explain to me what that is?
It would suck your dick. You go over there, you bring it to McDonald's, and it's like your dick.
No, I mean, I totally know what a BJ is, guys. I just, could you explain what that is?
Yeah, so yeah, if you jumped on it 23 times and then you spun quarter clockwise,
it would Brandon your Johnson. It's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it would blob your job. Whatever. This is something that my wife has a tick about. She actually can't say out loud. She can only call it a blur gerb.
which makes your bedroom talk a whole different matter. It's our anniversary. You want a blur gerb?
Yeah. Which that term is well known among my friends because, you know, like we're just, I was like, well, how was the blur gerb? It was the best blur gerb I ever heard. anyway, so it was known as the BJ trampoline. And not just myself. Like, I mean, obviously, duh. But like any dude that had a girlfriend that was in our group of friends basically knew, like, hey, if we're over at Ramon's house, we can go out back. Because the trampoline, we figured out, if two people are in the middle of it, it sank in.
Okay. Like, really far down?
Far down.
Okay.
So, like, because it was, you know, it was a trampoline that was built for maybe, like, you know, elementary school kids or maybe middle school kids.
Gotcha.
Juniors in high school, right?
Uh-huh.
So it would sink down. So you really couldn't see anything that was going on. You even couldn't really see anyone that was on it. It's just like, oh, that's an empty trampoline. Cool. But so and this is one of the myriad times that my scary ass father basically almost caught me doing something. with my crazy as a box of foxes. My crazy as a box of foxes ex-girlfriend. Who was not my ex-girlfriend. I don't even know. She might have been my ex-girlfriend.
Bottom line is she's giving you a BJ and a trampoline, right?
Yeah. And apparently it was time to go do something. And this was before, you know, this is well before like having like a smartphone or anything. Like there was no, like, I had no scope of what time was or anything like that. So I forgot that we were supposed to go somewhere. And so he's looking for me all through the entire house. And he knows that she's over, right? And like, of course, you know, we're out back doing what we're doing. Right?
Just that big sunken part of the trampoline. Where are those kids?
You couldn't see it because it had like, if you saw it sunk in, like you'd have to be in the second floor bedroom.
Okay, and looking down on it.
Which I must reiterate, you have to be in the second floor.
I like to think your dad's like keeps walking by and it's like, where is that kid?
Yeah.
What is that sound? Well, is someone eating, like, sloppily eating ice cream?
Yeah, right. Yeah. What's with all that pudding? We don't even have pudding in that. So, you know, so he's walking around for like half an hour getting furious. And my dad pretty much settles at, you know, like just angry, kind of perturbed all the time, right? So he's now
in
an eight, right, of the anger meter. And we're getting ready to go. And we're supposed to go to dinner. We were actually supposed to go to dinner with her parents was what it boiled down to. So they were like all trying to make a good impression, be there on time, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So finally we get finished up, right? And, you know, we're just hanging out and just like, you know, laying, looking up from the top of the trampoline. And then I see those two eyes.
Oh man.
Wait, from the second story?
Second story.
Oh, what kind of conversation ensued after that?
Conversation. It was an implied agreement that basically if I ever did that again, see, I don't know what he saw, right?
You're right.
But like, it's like the ninth time he almost caught me.
Ramon, I saw you getting a blur gerb down there.
And we didn't say anything about it, but like literally he didn't talk to me. It was like a, of all days, it was like a Sunday. And he literally didn't talk to me until like dinner on Tuesday.
And it was like, good job getting that blowjob on the trampoline, son.
It's like, I wish all of you went out to dinner and her parents are like, you guys are running late. Well, your daughter couldn't stop sucking my son's dick in the trampoline. So, yeah, we're a little late.
Hey-o. And then I like do like a little soft shoe out.
Got mine. Clickety, 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 clickety.
So honestly, that's what I would do nowadays. I was just afraid that, you know, he was just going to like lock me in my room forever and I would never get out. And I would just be in there with my Transformer toys and Final Fantasy VII. Actually, that sounds terrible.
Just playing Transformers after you get a blowjob, just playing Transformers.
So it sounds like you'd have like a high school experience, like, I don't know, me or Josh.
Yeah. So anyway, So 1 out of 9 times ain't bad. Moral of the story is that dude is terrifying to this day. Every time I'm in trouble with my wife, it'll be something escalates. Why don't you just go get a blowjob on a trampoline then?
Oh, I see. Oh,
if you weren't there, I would remember that. And second of all, low blow. You know how I feel about that.
I was hoping you were going to say whenever you get in an argument at home, you have a trampoline in the backyard that you go and hide in.
Right.
See, I'd never heard this story before, Ramon. So whenever you said regretful recall about a blowjob, I know of a different story. And I was like, there's no way he's telling this on the air. No, okay, no. He's not telling it on the air. Okay. No. Because you were about to blow my fucking mind.
Not yet.
Is that behind the paywall?
It's behind the paywall, yeah. It actually gets funneled directly to me.
You start your own Patreon for Ramon's blowjob story. That would
BJ that Tales, one. Brandon Johnson Tales from Ramon Castillo will be your Patreon.
Yeah, you know, it's like in high school, I actually wasn't, you know, I didn't do a whole lot. But I got a lot of those, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I didn't even know what they were. So like, congrats.
I was like the only brown kid in the sea of not brown kids. So it was like, who is he? You know? So that was nice. Even though I was a super nerd and still am.
I went to that school. Yeah. There are a lot of brown kids there.
He was a lighter shade of brown.
No, like brown.
Oh, right.
Not like dark brown.
See, I was the only dove in a school full of doves, I guess. There was no deviation.
It was a real hateful boyfriend situation in your high school, Tyler.
But yeah, that was my, you know, I don't, regretful recall, terrifying, nightmare-inducing story. I'll probably actually have terrible nightmares about that tonight.
Just your dad's just red eyes behind some curtains.
You're bouncing in bed.
Yeah. Just crying and jerking it. Oh,
so sad.
Yeah, and I also occasionally, and I say occasionally, do my own YouTube channel at Countdown's Corner. But we are on hiatus right now due to the fact that I travel way too much.
Yeah, if you've been gone for the last 3 weeks, yeah, that's got to be.
Yeah.
You know, the hope is to start doing it again. You know, I do have some plans, though, for my actual profession to be going to PAX Prime, E3, and BlizzCon this year.
So, awesome.
Fucking A.
We'll give you tons of Tadpog cards to spam people with.
Send them my way.
Shovel Knight?
Shovel Knight.
Think about Shovel Knight.
Do you hear that, Tyler?
I think so, Dave.
Sounds like squeaky springs.
Squeaky springs and a mayonnaise or a ketchup bottle that is almost out of ketchup.
Someone's taking a really nasty deuce on a trampoline.
Or someone's punching a jar of an open container of mayonnaise.
Well, I think I have one of those.
Sounds like the Dave Reed's Wikipedia train.
Yeah, it's a good train. It's a good train.
Trampoline train.
It's the blowjob train.
It's the blur gerb train.
Okay, guys, Shovel Knight is a 2014. I think this may be the most recent game we've ever done. Mm-hmm. 2D side-scrolling platform game developed and published by independent video game developer Yacht Club Games.
Yacht Club!
The game was initially released for Microsoft Windows, Nintendo 3DS, and Wii U. Ports later came out for OS X and Linux. It also eventually came out on PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation Vita. I'm sorry. Vita is going to be here in about a month. April 21st. Shovel Knight attempts to mimic gameplay and graphics like those seen in games developed for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And for this, it achieved critical acclaim and was nominated for and won various yearly gaming awards. So that really doesn't tell us a whole lot about the game.
No, not really at all.
No, it doesn't, actually.
Other than it looks and sounds like an old school Nintendo game, mm-hmm. which I was, when I turned this game on, automatically, it was magical when I started this game and the Yacht Club logo showed up and it looks legitimately 8-bit like a Nintendo game and sounded legitimately like a Nintendo game. I feel like there are so many games like Fist Puncher. I'm going to go back to Fist Puncher because the thing that bothered me the most about Fist Puncher was it was quote unquote 16-bit, but it didn't really capture that feel. It didn't feel like it. This game, the moment I turned it on, it felt like I was turning on a Nintendo game.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like immediately. Like I had an emotional reaction when I turned it on. A positive emotional reaction.
Just started vomiting just intensely.
I had an allergic reaction to
this. To Shovels. Oh, man. Yeah, it's the music one. But yeah, the art style, it's just, I mean, this game could have been made by Capcom. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some of the mechanics are reminiscent of DuckTales for the NES. Ooh. Yes, thank you. You know what's up. Because you play Shovel Knight, and you practice shovelry instead of chivalry. So you carry a shovel around and you use that as your weapon of choice. Mm-hmm. And one of the big mechanics in the game is you can jump, you can kind of do pogo jumps with the shovel like Scrooge does in DuckTales with his cane.
And then there are lots of knights in the world. And yeah, your Shovel Knight and your love interest, Shield Knight. And Shield Knight she was killed like when you start off, or she's just gone now.
So that's very vague.
Yeah, it is vague.
Yeah, but she's gone and you're sad, and all of your other knightly friends have apparently all fallen under influence of the Enchantress.
Yep.
So you meet the Black Knight immediately and he kicks your ass. And then you go into town and everything's in distress because the knights are holed up in various places and are just ruining the countryside. So Shovel Knight takes it upon himself to go to each kingdom and set the knights straight and confront the Enchantress. And this is done because it has the DuckTales pogo element, but then in every other regard, it reminds me a lot of Mega Man.
Yeah.
So there's eight knights.
Yeah, and the knights are specific knights.
Yeah.
Like the Mole Knight. Instead of Mole Man, one of the villains in a Mega Man game. Yeah. He's Mole Knight.
King Knight,
yes.
Spectre Knight. Mm-hmm. My favorite, I really enjoyed Plague Knight. Because Plague Knight has the Plague Doctor mask and his level is all like beakers and explosives and potions and things like that.
That's my favorite level.
Yeah.
Either that or Spectre Knight is my favorite level.
I like Spectre Knight. I like Spectre Knight as a knight, and I like the level a lot too, just because of all like the campy horror elements.
See, I got so fucking fed up with Spectre Knight because the thing is, like, I didn't know you. I think he is the hardest knight that I've fought so far. But I didn't know because the checkpoint system in the game are these glass spheres. And once you pass by one, it'll activate.
It'll light up with a gem inside.
Or if you hit it, it'll activate. Yeah, there's a gem inside that works as your checkpoint. You can also keep hitting it and break it and get a ton of gems. So, like, whenever I first saw one, like, I jumped on it, saw it cracked, jumped on it a few more times, and kept getting all these gems. So, I make it, on the first time I go through Spectre Knight's level, I make it all the way to Spectre Knight. and I break every glass sphere on the way. Get to Spectre Knight, die back at the very beginning.
Yeah,
because you destroyed your save points.
Yeah, and I got like the bard songs and everything on my run. So every time I die, and I think he's the hardest knight, like I said. So I have to run through this entire level, beat him, die, do it again. And I did this 7 or 8 times because like when you have to do that much going back through it again, like his pattern is not as fresh on my mind. So trying to beat him is just not working for me. I remember that I was so just angry at myself because I didn't know, and there's no taking it back. And if you can't back out of the level, you lose everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't beat this game because I got so frustrated and angry at myself that I just like put the control down and I couldn't play it until I finally had to rationalize, all right, I'm just going to have to restart and deal with it if I want to keep playing this game and have a good time.
You restarted?
Yeah, I backed out and started again.
Yeah. Okay, so you didn't restart from the very beginning of the game, just that level. No. By that point, you probably had lost all your treasure anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you died that many times.
We need to explain how lives work in this game. Because I guess you really only have one life, but the gems you collect, you have your money meter. Every time you die, you lose money. And once you run out of money, then that's it. But as long as you have money to forfeit, you have infinite lives, essentially. But you can go back and collect your money.
What if you don't have any money? Has that ever did that happen to either of you guys?
I think it kicks you out of the level.
Does it?
It almost did before I rage quit on the level I got to earlier and came out here to record.
Yeah, it kicks you out of the level if I remember, because I ran into that at some point in one of the secret levels. Well, not secret levels, one of the side quest levels.
The bonus levels, yeah.
Yeah, I it was like one of those ones where you have to keep punching in the air.
I know which one you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, so I died on that, and then I lost everything, and then I was like, okay, well, and then it's just like, nope. Kicks you out.
I'm glad we're talking because I kind of felt like I was bad at video games when I played this game. It sounds like I maybe am not bad, and this game might be a little challenging.
It's pretty challenging.
This game's pretty. It has like it's done so well because they, for the most part, I know there are some like annoying tropes they stick with, and I think is shitty. But they do the kind of programming for Nintendo games that made them frustratingly hard, and they do it really well. But yeah, I think it's a very challenging game.
And it's interesting. I didn't know about I didn't know you can destroy those checkpoints until you told me that.
Yeah.
So I pretty much never destroyed a checkpoint for extra money. But when I was playing the game, I was thinking this game would be legitimately Nintendo hard if there were no checkpoints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that whole risk versus reward sort of thing? So it gives you that option, which is kind of awesome. There's no game in the past that would do that.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love making your own difficulty. I think that's really, really cool. And like having that choice when you know it's a choice, I feel like having that choice is really liberating for a game like this. For like exactly like you said, Ramon, I can't think of a Nintendo game that had that kind of finesse.
So the last game that you guys talked about that actually did this and you had to figure it out on your own was Star Fox 64. Or Star Fox. So like you didn't know that you could skip, that you could destroy checkpoints until you accidentally did it. And you're like, oh, I can make the game harder and I get more reward. That's cool.
Yeah, I love that. I love that it's not a difficulty slider.
Yeah.
You know, it's in game. It's an in game mechanic. You destroy a checkpoint, you get money, extra money, but you cannot restart the game from that checkpoint.
Well, you guys said your favorite knights, right? So, Tyler, which one was yours? What was your favorite knight?
Favorite actual knight? Yeah, still probably Plague Knight. I really enjoyed Plague Knight.
Dave, Spectre Knight?
Yeah, I loved that whole level, and I love that knight.
Okay, so I'm glad that we all have a different one. Mine's Tinker Knight.
Tinker Knight, I really enjoyed. But I thought that... okay, because like Tinker Knight has two forms, yeah?
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's got his inept form where he runs around and throws wrenches at you, which is pretty easy to dispatch. Mm-hmm. And then once you get him down, he climbs into a gigantic mech.
Yeah, Knight Tank.
Yes, which I think is really cool. I like that. But that knight is so easily taken down with the anchors. It is ridiculous.
Oh, I agree. It's not the ease of it. I like the whole level.
Yeah.
Because it's very much reminds me of Castlevania because mm-hmm. it's like a giant clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
But his theme music is my ringtone. That is my favorite song in the entire game because it is so like it's so different from everything else because the whole game is kind of plotting and sort of, you know, it's like there's like we're going on an adventure and it's very, you know, purposeful. This one, this particular song and the one where the spin the bottle song, which is the one where you're doing the mini game where you're trying to break all the alchemist bottles.
Yeah.
Those are my two favorite because they are so they're so funny compared to everything else. So they're like it's very tongue in cheek and his mm-hmm. is like you walk in you're like I'm going to fight this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is he's completely inept and he's like running around and his arms are flailing and he's freaking out that you basically broke into his room.
He's and, tiny too by the way.
Yeah. And it's just hilarious because that music completely changes the way you think. Like I couldn't take the fight seriously, and then he does like the, and then the floor like breaks out, and yeah. I was like immediately knew what was going to happen.
Right.
I was like, oh, it was just such a good callback. It's an easy fight, but because it like the nostalgia level was at like 98% in that fight, I was like, oh, this is totally like Mega Man X when you fight Sigma in his final.
Yeah. Exactly. Sigma's head floats back up to the top.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I loved it so much. So that's why I like it. I think that the biggest challenge is Spectre Knight. And he used to be – I looked it up. He actually was at one point because you can tell by where his music is in the soundtrack. He was the last one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because like he ended up being, I think, what, the second one?
Yeah. Yeah, they ended up putting him in too. I think what I was reading is they wanted to gate people. So like they didn't want people to be like
– yeah.
You know, sort of like this is an easy game. This is, and then at the end, they'd be like, "This is a really fucking hard game." Yeah. They wanted to test people right then.
Here's your barrier of entry, motherfucker.
And they did it early enough where like you're either gonna enjoy this game or you're gonna hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Tinker Knight was my favorite, and then the Black Knight was awesome.
Can I tell you one thing that I think might have ruined the game a little bit for me?
What's that?
Invincibility potions. And the amulet that allows you to go pretty much phantom form. It turns you to smoke. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, what I would do is I'd run through the game. I'd run through the level. The levels were, I think, extremely well designed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And really reminded me of, like, the really good old NES platforming games. The mm-hmm. Capcom stuff. The Mega Man stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I would get to the boss and I would just be like, all right, I'm going to get to where I've got two little health dots left. I'm going to start slamming invincibility potions and then just going crazy. And that's pretty much how I got through every boss fight.
Yeah.
And when I'd run out of invincibility potions, which I got from a trout meets an apple fish.
Made Meg crack up pretty hard whenever I was playing that.
Yeah.
Once I was done with those, I would just keep spamming that amulet that I had that would essentially make me go ethereal.
Mm-hmm.
So when I activated that, I could avoid any attack for probably about 3 seconds, but I could still attack a boss. Mm-hmm. I feel like if they took those two things out of the game, it would drastically change.
You wouldn't be able to complete it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't because I use that as a fucking crutch.
I don't think I ever spammed it. I think I always told myself, I was like, I'm only going to use it when it looks cool. Like, I'm only going to use it in midair. Right?
Not me, man. I was like, I want to finish this fucking game, which I didn't, by the way. I got to a boss gauntlet today, and I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to go ahead and record.
That's the trope I hate.
Oh, boss gauntlet?
Yes.
Oh, I like them. Oh, see, I love boss fights though. So it's like, if an entire game is about boss fights, that's fine for me.
Shadow of the Colossus, done and done.
Right? Yeah, yeah. There's one coming out called Titan Soul, which is supposed to be a isometric 2D version of that.
Huh?
Yeah, it comes. Well, it's PS4. Sorry, guys.
No worries.
One day.
I honestly, I've never played Shadow of the Colossus. I know that's blasphemy. But
I've only played Ico.
I haven't played Ico either. I know they collected them together in a later release.
I've got it sitting over there, and I still have not played it. I've had it for like 2 years now.
Well, I feel a lot better now. Yeah. I'm not the only asshole who hasn't played Shadow of the Colossus.
They're never coming out with a third one.
Yeah, because what was it supposed to be? It was there was a third one. Yeah, the Last Guardian, like super hype. People were super excited. Yeah, that's just not gonna happen.
You basically follow around one of those bosses the entire game and try to get him home.
It's the Iron Giant.
Basically, yeah. It's like Journey, but with a Colossus. Or Flower, or Flow, I guess. Those are indie games, folks.
I've only played Journey, and I really, really like Journey.
I've played Flow. It was pretty short, unless there was an expanded retail version of it.
Flow was, I think, the first one before they did like Flower.
Yeah.
And then Journey. I like those kinds of games, like non-game games.
Yeah.
I think we talked about Stanley Parable at some point.
Yep.
I like those. They're like, this is not really a game, but we're going to make you pay for it because it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Like, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I mean, even when we talked about Stanley Parable on the show, it was like, is this a game?
I think it's a movie that you can click.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine with me. That's just like, it's just another medium, right? Mm-hmm. So just, you know, I mean, half of the Metal Gear games you don't even play anyway. So it's like, those are all movies.
Yeah, and it's pretty much like Final Fantasy now, too.
Yeah. Oh, I'm actually getting the new one tomorrow.
Yeah.
Type Zero.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually pretty excited about it because it got good reviews, and it's everybody, like, it has where the characters can die.
That's cool.
It's a completely different, it's like Fire Emblem meets Final Fantasy, which is kind of cool.
Let me know what you think for sure, because I've been kind of curious about that.
It's either going to be really great or it's going to be a $60 demo for Final Fantasy 15.
Right.
Yeah.
I may record that just so it, like, all my friends can see it. Like, this is what you guys were not stupid enough to pay for.
please do that.
Yeah. Shovel Knight.
This is the first Tadpog game that has made me rage quit so hard in quite a while.
I'm not surprised, man.
Oh man, because I was doing okay until I got to Propeller Knight's level.
Yeah.
And
I thought about you when I played Propeller Knight's level.
I think I scared Meg at the end because, like, finally I just, like, stood up and hurled my controller and slammed my laptop shut so hard I'm surprised I didn't break it before I just walked immediately out of the house and came out here to the annex and just walked around just fuming for a while.
Did you kick a Coke Zero box around?
Oh, God, I was so... It's just because it was just this one segment, and I tried it. I counted 23 times, right, and it's just like I could not fuck up.
Which
and
segment just, was it? Is it when you're going up, the level has turned vertical?
No, I was fine. I rage quit a few times, but got past the part with the electrified jellyfish that you have to pogo across. Mm-hmm. That took me forever. But this part is one where you jump on the blocks and they immediately start falling down. And right at this critical jump, one of those green propeller guys just, like, pops up and just like, no, you knock off.
It blows you off the edge. Yeah.
And it's like, no matter what, I could not get around this guy.
That's exactly how I got by it. Amulet. Yep.
See, I kept having trouble when I do the amulet because when I would jump up and try to use it, I would fall too far by the time it activated. Then my jump was too far gone. So it's just like,
you only have those few frames to do it. I think that's right before the part where I got really mad, which is the auto scroll, Buster Bunny sort of, like, you have to go
the train
right
level
and up and then right and then down and then left and then down and then right, like, all in. You basically have to hover in the air the whole time and you can't.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, there's like the wind keeps changing directions.
Yeah.
Like, first, it blows up, and there's spikes everywhere, by the way. Then the wind blows right, then the wind blows down, and you have to kind of, like, time it so you don't slam into spikes. Like, this, when I played that part of the game, it was like, this is a goddamn Nintendo game right here.
Oh, man. I'm glad I didn't make it that far, because if I'd finally beaten that fucking part and then gotten to that fucking part, I would have lost my fucking mind.
That's the hardest part of the level.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
It really is the hardest part of the
game. I'll give you that. It's the hardest level of the game.
I don't think so. I had a really hard time with the entrance to the Enchantress's castle.
I did something where I basically, like, skipped two screens.
oh, how'd you do that?
It was like the your amulet trick.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I just looked across the screen and I just looked at my items and I was like, yeah, fuck this. I don't remember what I did, but it was like instead of going across, I went up through two screens.
Uh-huh.
And it just put me in the screen that I was supposed to be in. I think I had to fall first to figure it out.
Well, there is a part in that level that is also auto-scrolling, but it's kind of a la Super Mario World where it's auto-scrolling up.
Yeah.
And there are ledges that are giant ledges that are kind of pushing into the wall and then coming out.
Yeah.
And it's like you're trying to avoid the ever encroaching darkness at the bottom of the screen, right? Like, because mm-hmm. that'll straight kill you. But you're also trying not to get crushed by these big blocks that you have to jump on to climb up. That took me a minute. And then once you get up near the top, it's all just dirt and bricks and rocks that you have to use the dirt puncher to get through.
So there's okay. one more. Yeah. Oh yeah. So it's like, as soon as you guys start getting any speed, they actually put like obstacles in your way. Oh, I remember yep. that one.
And then there's one other part in that level that I honestly thought that I was going to rage quit. And it deals with those fucking, those green propeller guys, Tyler, that you were just talking about. Ugh. Guess what? They show up again, except this time, you are controlling an ice sled that kind of shits rainbows.
Fucking things! Yeah, from like yeah. Frost Knights yeah. level.
You have to smack it, and it'll while you're on it, you smack it, and you kind of use it as a sled to fly through the air.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it poops out a rainbow.
Yes, and once you smack it, you have to run across that rainbow until it crumbles into nothingness. Mm-hmm. So
it's fucking stressful.
Oh, it is really stressful. So I'm doing that. I get through all these obstacles, these cauldrons that are dumping lava down. There are just, you know, random fire. There's just random fire here and there that you have to avoid. I get all the way through there and I'm like, oh man, finally, green propeller guy flies up, just blows me off the sled. That happened to me like 8 times.
Is that before the boss gauntlet?
That is before the boss gauntlet. And then I got past the first propeller guy, and I'm like, yeah, second propeller guy flies up and blows me off the other.
Well, and it has the same problem that old Mega Man games have, in which if you run off of the screen, wherever that enemy started on the screen, he'll immediately spawn.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I think was by design.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
I didn't get past the boss gauntlet. That's as far as I got because I ran out of time because this game, took a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. Yeah. It's a much bigger game than I thought it was.
It's harder.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. Like I think I've got seven legitimate hours logged into it. I think I've left it running just because I didn't want to go back and start a level over from the beginning.
Yeah.
The boss gauntlet, though, even though it is the thing that the Tyler hates, and it's legitimately tough, the way they handle it is hilarious.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. How you kind of just stumble in on a dinner that they're having.
And they're like, hey, who's going to go first? And you're like, what? Yeah.
No, we'll fight you one at a time.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll fight you one at a time on this dinner table.
And I don't know if they continue to give you power-ups through the battle, but like that's one thing that's kind of forgiving about it is like you beat a boss, they pretty much give you an opportunity to get some health back.
Yeah, they slide you over a whole turkey.
Yeah. And there's a save point right before it. So, I mean, it was forgivable for me. I really wish that I could have finished the game. And I do plan on finishing the game because as challenging as I thought it was, I also really, really enjoyed it, like on a weird, deep level.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime on a screen, like if I would zone to a new screen and I saw a sheet with like a Bard song on it,
yeah,
it was like, no.
Really?
No.
Oh, man.
I knew it was like, I'll get this and then I'll die going back. And
oh,
I have
yeah.
to start way the fuck over. So I was like, it just taught me like, don't go for any bonus shit. Just yeah. don't. You're going to have a bad time. Don't do it.
Come back later.
Completely different for me. It would like flip the switch where it's like, got to get that. It doesn't matter if I finish the level. Got to get that Bard song.
Yeah. I think Dave and I are wired very much the same way. It's just like, you know, like got to catch them all.
Yeah, pretty much. Which might also have something to do with why I didn't finish the game. Because I did, like, I wanted to do all the levels. I wanted to do all the bonus levels. I wanted to get as much fucking money as I could from that alchemy bottle breaking minigame.
Yep.
I honestly probably spent 45 to 50 minutes playing that game that's in the first town where Mona, an alchemist, throws bottles and you try to smack it into boards for points.
I think I never did this.
It's hidden. Yeah. It's a hidden area in the first village.
Hmm.
And it's a good way to grind for more gold in case you're having trouble.
Which I was.
Yeah. It's on the opposite side of the treasure hunter guy. So, like, if there's, like, if you go downstairs into the bar on the right side, you can go in and you can talk to, like, three NPCs, and that's where the treasure hunter dude is. If you go to the left and you break the wall, Mona's in there, and she's, like, she used to work for Plague Knight, apparently.
Yeah.
And that's part of the DLC, which is free, by the way.
Yeah, I read about that. I don't know a whole lot about it. What do you know?
It comes out the day that the PS4 version comes out, and everybody gets it for free. But yeah, you get to play the game as Plague Knight.
Your favorite character, Tyler?
Okay.
You seem really super excited.
I'm still mad. It hasn't run off my back yet for me to be like, yeah, I'm gonna do this again.
And he plays differently. And then apparently for the PS4 version, you can fight Kratos.
Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. And then in the Xbox One version, you can fight the Battletoads.
Okay, I like that, but I still think it's kind of gross. I really do. I think that's kind of gross, which is kind of like, it just seems like pre-order bullshit.
It's still free, though.
I know. I get it, but it seems like, I don't know. I have a really hard, I've always had a hard time with that. Like
DLC?
Yeah, well, not just DLC, but like, oh, it's not an exclusive game, but we just changed this one thing. Like Soul Calibur always had, like, oh, you get this character on the PS4.
You get an Xbox
version.
You get to be as Yoda if you play on. Yeah.
Guess you better buy them all. Fuck you.
That's gotten worse and worse over the years.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. And PC gets nothing.
And I would say I'm okay with that, but I'm really fucking not okay with that. I think you should get to fight Gabe or something.
Other than Spectre Knight, other than Spectre Knight, I didn't have trouble with like any of the bosses, but I did struggle with one of the like Mario 3 style, the lions or whatever, you know, whenever you're on the map, those will pop up after you beat like a knight.
Instead of Hammer Brothers, they're knights or
other
something.
Heroes or knights or something like that. And there's a guy named Baz, like this huge guy who's like, I bought the best and the best. God, I fought that guy so many fucking times. Man. The like boomerang guy, no problem. Lightning guy, no problem.
Yeah.
Baz could not. Oh man, I
what was
that
the problem?
So many times.
I kind of thought
so
he was.
Many times.
I legitimately thought he was a joke.
Yeah,
yeah.
No,
I had problems with the lightning guy.
Yeah, I had problems with the lightning guy too. But yeah, for some reason, I think I just pogo jumped Baz to death.
See, so you had to get right in the middle of his head, otherwise you wouldn't do any damage. So by the time I would get to his head, then like lightning would come down, and then he'd sling his rope up to one of those hooks, and then swing away, and I'd have trouble getting on that. But it took me until I was able to catch him before he jumped onto one of the ropes, and I was able to pogo him as he swung, and then I beat him. But until I could do that, I could not fucking do it.
Was it really the hardest part of the game for you? Because I'm surprised you didn't talk about Treasure Knight's level.
I didn't have any problem with Treasure Knight's level.
Yeah, I didn't
it's
either.
It's an underwater level.
I know.
As far as underwater levels go, I think I cleared that with only dying like one or two times.
It was not. I didn't find it very difficult either. I had more problem with Mole Knight's level, the underground level, because I ran into a nasty situation where you acquire the. Do you guys remember what it's called? It's the gauntlet that lets you punch through rock.
Fist puncher.
The fist puncher. Yeah,
it's like dust something.
Dust knuckles.
Dust knuckles. That's it.
So I find the dust knuckles, but I don't have enough money to buy them.
Oh.
And yes, I mean they're not required to finish that level, but you pretty fucking much need them.
Well, see, I think I got the bubbles that you would throw like that green bouncing bubble.
Yeah.
Other than that, not until like Propeller Knight stage did I buy any other sub-weapon or any other magic.
Oh, dude.
I didn't really even upgrade my magic hardly at all.
You played on fucking hard mode is what you did.
All my money went to the Gastronomer to get health upgrades.
Yeah.
So.
No, this is one of the few 8-bit games you actually have to grind.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't really ever feel like I was grinding.
It was fun. Because
I also got the armor upgrade.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you guys did new shovels or got new armor.
I got all the new shovels, and I got the only armor I was fucking interested in at all was the armor that...
The ornate armor?
No. which I'm really curious if it actually does anything, because the description is like...
I looked it up, because I had to know too before I wasted any money. Because
what's the description say? It says like it's gold, and you do flips
it's
and shit.
It's going pretty, but ultimately useless.
Right.
I actually won the game with that one, because I wanted to do flips.
Yeah. Does it do anything other than that?
It does an awesome flip.
On the catapult. If you do the catapult, you always land on your feet. You don't land on your back. Let's see. I heard there's a... It sparkles, so it does actually help you a little bit in darkness parts of levels. And there's some hidden stuff. I can't remember, like, if you beat one boss or something like that, you'll get compliments on your style. Like, the bosses will compliment you or something.
No, dude. I went with red armor. What red armor is, when you die, you don't lose as much treasure.
Yeah.
Because I was like, guess what? I couldn't afford those fucking dust knuckles or whatever the fuck they are. That ain't happening again. I'm buying armor that allows me to retain some treasure.
Dust knuckles is the way I got through the tower so easily, because you could basically air slide using them.
Yeah, I need to like go back and no, I'm not gonna do that.
Let's be honest.
No, I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna get to this boss gauntlet though.
So I bought the Dynamo Mail that's supposed to be like power up your pogo.
Yeah,
but I didn't notice. Like, I bought the charge shield, the charge shovel, and that. Thank you. I would have a good like power combo.
Yeah,
I didn't really find much use for either
one of them. I never use the charge. Yeah. I never use the charge shovel. I really did like the shovel upgrade that allows you to dig up rocks in one shovel motion instead of several. That actually helped me out a lot in the Mole Knights level, where you have those oozes, those blobs that catch fire. I found that actually if I shoveled something onto them, they would put them off.
The green goo,
they would unlight. Which I thought was cool.
I enjoyed that level for the most part.
I did, except I had to play it over again because I couldn't afford the dust knuckles. So I quit to map to
go do that. Yep, yeah,
to go get the money to buy them.
See, I hated what's his name, Polar Knights level.
Yeah,
That's fucking rainbow.
Any low traction level. I hate ice levels.
I kind of expected to not like it.
I jumped my way through that because you could jump and not slide. But if you tried to walk, you would slide. So I just jumped without losing traction
that way. But yeah, that's the where you get the rainbow poop.
Yes, statues. The rainbow poop sled.
I despise low traction levels because like... You know, you'll feel that the controls are super tight, and they are. They're great.
Yeah.
But you really get on a low traction level, and you're like, I forgot everything.
I spent too much time in the ice world in Super Mario Brothers 2. Like,
that's where I would immediately whistle to every time.
Yeah. I mean, I really feel like that. I cut my teeth on ice levels there. And that kind of like set a good precedent, because I feel like Nintendo was like, you master this, you ain't ever going to have to fucking worry about an ice level again.
I guess everybody has their level, right? Their level that they despise. Mine is ice levels.
Yeah.
Air levels are really... underwater levels I've come to accept, but I guess it's just air levels, like Propeller Knight, and then any of the air levels in like Mega Man's. Like
Airman.
Fuck.
At least this game didn't have those appearing and disappearing
blocks.
Yeah, you shouldn't have said that.
Oh god, did they show up after the boss gauntlet?
There's two more.
Oh my god.
Yeah, there's two more tropes that they do. They do one of those, and then they do one of those fall forever and try to weave your way through the spikes.
Oh, I like those. Yeah, I might not like
Gemini Man level.
God. Fucking Gemini Man.
But what did we not talk about? We kind of touched on the soundtrack. The soundtrack is absolutely phenomenal.
It's really good. It's really good. It sounds authentic. Mm-hmm. Like it, everything about this game feels authentic, and I don't feel like there's a better word to describe it than authentic. Mm-hmm. Like this could have been an NES reproduction game. Like they, I mean, it feels like the only thing it's missing is the fact that it didn't come in a gray square cartridge. Because it feels so much like a Nintendo game.
Yeah.
Like even the palettes that they use, it feels like they're extremely faithful to, I mean, I shouldn't say extremely faithful, but they're artistically faithful to the limitations of a NES display.
Yeah.
The only thing they do different is something that was at the like the very end and early beginning of the SNES. Their parallax is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's true. The it was weird because when I was playing this, I was thinking to myself, I wonder how many board meetings they had. I don't even know how many developers were involved, but I wonder how many meetings they had where it was like, do we need to have sprite flicker? Because that felt like the only thing it was missing from like an NES game was like sprite flicker, which I kind of figured they had to have talked about that. Mm-hmm. They had to have, and they had to have been like, you know what? That shit was super annoying, so let's not put that in the game.
I feel like a lot of game companies are trying to capture that feel again. And I thought this is the first time I've seen it done and thought it was done right and enjoyed it, as opposed to something like Retro City Rampage, who tried to be so faithful that they kept all the shitty stuff in and made it like, hey, isn't this funny? Isn't this,
remember
all
this, this?
All this stuff you hated? Do it again. Here, isn't it so? It's awesome. Relive your childhood, asshole.
I do wish that I had a classic NES controller that I could have played this game on. I think that would have been a really cool experience.
Yeah.
Instead, I had a 360 controller that I used.
Yeah.
Which was okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
I feel like, if I had had a D-pad to do like the shovel pogo with as opposed to just the joystick, I think it would have been a lot easier.
Yeah.
Because it was easy to not click it in the right direction. And
could you not use it?
On the way down.
What kind of controller were you using, Tyler?
I used a wired 360 controller.
Yeah, the D-pad on the 360 controller is garbage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they kind of fixed that, I think, with the one. I don't have one anymore.
That's what I hear. But, man, you try to use that fucking D-pad on a 360 controller, you might as well not. Because I remember trying to, like, play Street Fighter with that thing. And it was like, nope, buying a Hori arcade stick.
Yeah. Oh, could you imagine playing this game with an arcade stick?
Yes, because I thought about it. And then after I played it, I was like, no, not doing that. Not doing that.
Like blindfolded with your head like covered in bees? Oh, man. You guys said I'm the expert on the game. I guess that just means I've beaten it.
Yep, you're more qualified than either of us.
These kinds of games are kind of what I live for. Like I've beaten Dark Souls and Demon Souls. I haven't played Dark Souls 2. But I love games that are punishing, right? Like I like, and maybe I don't know what that means about me, but I'm like, if I fail in the first 20 minutes, I'm gonna be like, what just happened? And it's instead of rage quitting, I start leaning in more.
Yeah.
Right. And it takes a lot for me to rage quit. And I think that most of the times that I quit this game was just because I had to go back to work.
Yes. I'm in the same way. Only because you bring up Dark Souls, because I've got a bone to pick with Dark Souls, as everyone listening probably knows. Let me tell you the difference I felt between these two games. Like Dark Souls, not every time, but I'd say probably 60% of the time I died in Dark Souls. I'm like, what the fuck?
Right.
But every time I died in Shovel Knight, I was like, I deserved that. That was on me.
I see
but,
what you did there. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Because the controls in that game are so tight, and Shovel Knight is designed, the level design really is immaculate. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah, no, I agree on that point. And then we didn't even talk about the overworld. It's basically three different games. It's DuckTales for the pogoing. It's Mega Man for the eight different bosses and just kind of the level design. But the overworld is, without a doubt, is
Super Mario Brothers 3.
Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yep, 100%. That's the very first thing I thought of, especially like when the knights appear, like the Hammer Brothers appear on the map in Super Mario Brothers 3. That really brought some feels because like the first time that happened, and it like even has a really similar sound.
Yeah.
That was like, oh yeah, let's do it.
And Shovel Knight's in place marching when he's not moving.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like Mario. It's amazing. So it does have some, there are some Castlevania, a lot of Castlevania homages.
Yeah.
Like the giant turkey, like that's your, like wall turkey is how you eel age. Like, break this wall, a turkey's going to come out.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of that, which Castlevania is my favorite NES series. So like, I was like, you know, I love Mega Man, and that's like, will always have a near and dear place in my heart because that was the first game I owned. It was Mega Man 2. But Castlevania was like, what is this? It's so dark. Am I allowed to play this? Mom, she's not looking. Okay, let's go.
I mean, it's no Monster Party, but it's okay.
God, Monster Party.
Friday the 13th.
See, I've never played that. I hear a lot of things about it. I've never played it.
So it just like I didn't. It was so like not anything about the movies. Like I had
right. That's the perfect way to explain it. I love that you said that.
Like I didn't even understand what the movies were about because I played that game. I was like, who is this guy? He's a weird color. Am I supposed to? Are we friends? Are we supposed to find him? Like, are we trying to go to a concert together? Like, why are we going from town to town?
Yeah, there's absolutely no, there's nothing to go on in that game.
No. Yeah, there's like no story. That being said, there is a game coming out that interests me, which I think is Until Dawn.
I haven't heard of it.
Okay, so it's kind of like Evolve, which where you play, it's like a asymmetrical. So it's a team of stupid teenagers at a cabin in the woods in the middle of like fall or whatever, and they're all getting together, and there's six of them. You can play as three of the six of them at a time, and then the other person plays a psychopath. And you basically – it's like a third-person sort of like Resident Evil like fixed camera angles game.
Okay.
And like if you're playing as the three people, you have to find a way to stop or escape the psychopath. But as the psychopath, you chase them down. But if you go through a door and like they don't see where you go, you can come out any other door. So like the whole thing is like a survival horror game, but where the horror is like somebody else plays the monster.
Awesome. I love that. That sounds like it sounds like a really better idea than what they did in Left 4 Dead 2 multiplayer where they're like, you control the zombies. Well, they're not scary at all because they're just special zombies. That's it.
Apparently you can like bust through walls and stuff.
Cool.
Too.
Yeah. All right. I'm on board for this.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool.
What anything, were we talking about? Shovel Knight. Anything else about Shovel Knight?
People should play it.
It's a great game.
Yeah, I really recommend it. I rarely pay full retail on Steam for a game. I did for this, for the show, but I did not regret it. Like, I didn't regret being like, hey, man, I wish I hadn't dropped that money. I totally got the full value out of this game. I mean, that's how much I like it. I think it's well worth getting now and not waiting for a Steam sale.
Yeah. Yep. And it's everything they make about it later on is free. I bought the soundtrack from Bandcamp. I never looked back.
I might pick that up too. Because the soundtrack is really good.
Yeah. I used it when we play like a boss monster, that 8-bit card game. We use it to play that.
Okay. Cool. Tyler?
Yes, Dave.
Had a good time today.
Yeah.
Had a good time. I'm kind of in a better mood now. That's a shame that like it's the end of the episode now.
Two beers in a better mood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I finished my Release the Kraken. Good. That Kraken. All our responses are so delayed.
That Kraken done released, Ramon.
Yeah. I ate the baby. I ate the little baby squid.
It's waiting for you on the trampoline.
Blurgerb.
Had a lot of fun today, Tyler. Talking about sitting around, talking about Shovel Knight, drinking some beer, making my nose stuffy. You know, good feels.
Yeah,
like you do.
But before we close things down, I got a very important question for you. If you were to give this game a beard that sums up how you feel about it, mm-hmm. what kind of beard would it be?
I would have to give this. It's an old beard. It's a beard that is it's gray and white, and it was glued onto Ramon's face during Fiddler on the Roof.
Ah, yeah.
Because I remember coming to Murray State and coming to the theater department, everyone had beards for some reason. I didn't understand. And then I see Ramon, like I meet Ramon, and then like the next day I see Ramon, full glued on beard. So I have to give it, because he's trying to reproduce this old Jewish beard for Fiddler on the Roof. So
it was like a Dr. Light beard.
Yeah, it's just true. Like it was to be a puffy like a Dr. Light beard.
But it's a reproduced version.
Reproduced version. Like Shovel Knight is trying to reproduce that old feel. You're, of a classic Jewish beard.
You are like a countdown calendar to Christmas.
An advent calendar.
With the cotton balls.
Tradition.
Oh, man. You know what's funny about that is I was one of the smallest people in that entire show, and I was the only bass.
Tyler. That was a good show. I've seen that show. That's one of the only plays I've seen multiple times at multiple productions.
I think it's funny. That's a
good play.
Yeah.
Tyler, if you were to give this game a pair of glasses that existed in Fiddler, what kind of glasses
would
you give
it? It has to be in Fiddler on the Roof.
Well, you love it.
We're going to an exclusive Fiddler on the Roof beards and glasses.
I want to redo this episode where we just explain the parallels between Fiddler and Shovel Knight.
My favorite is Nazi number 3's glasses.
Well, then I guess if I'm going by that criteria, I'd have to give it Tevye's glasses when he's judging his daughter for wanting to go off with somebody, run off with a Gentile.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a super fan right there. You could just pull an answer out like that. What answer did you have prepared?
Tinker Knot's glasses is what I had written down.
I think you improvised very well. Yeah. Let's go with that one. I don't know how much this game is on Amazon, because why would you buy it on Amazon? That's you buy true. It on Steam or yep. the PlayStation Network.
Sometimes Amazon will run, occasionally they will run stuff cheaper than Steam, and you can just buy the code, go to Steam, and cash it in. That's how I got Brothers way before the Steam sale for like $4 because it was on
and play
Amazon
it on your
sale.
Kindle Fire.
And fuck off.
Because that's a thing.
Because I got Hotline Miami for free from Amazon. But yeah, that's it.
Shovel Knight.
Thanks for coming on, Ramon.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Being our authority.
I know you mentioned Countdown's Corner. Is there anything else you want to plug before we close it down?
Sure. If you're in the tech world, and I actually do have a pretty substantial following on SamsungWire.com, because I'm like the only gamer among a bunch of tech people, which is kind of weird.
That is bizarre.
I'm going to be doing some more stuff for Countdown's Corner, but I'm also going to be doing something directly for Samsung YouTube here in probably a few months. Awesome. For what's the first one coming up? E3. So this is definitely gaming related. So, you know, keep a lookout for that. But yeah, if you get a chance to go on Countdown's Corner, if I get a bunch of subscriptions, if everybody on Tadpog subscribed, I would start doing videos again and you just quit my job.
Man, right? Don't even get me started on that shit.
Everybody ruined Ramon's family life and subscribed to his YouTube channel.
I love this game. There is, you know, my hope is to get back to it and start doing more tabletop sort of stuff with D&D, and there seemed to be a big pull for that. What was I going to say? Can I give this an anime hair?
Yeah, Ramon.
Please.
If you were to give this your anime haired guest host.
If you were to give this game, I don't know, an anime hair, what kind of anime hair would you give it?
I would give this the anime hair of Proto Man.
Okay.
In front of the moon when he's not wearing his helmet with his luxurious scarf flowing from Mega Man 3.
Okay.
When you think he's the main villain. And it turns out he's not. That's
spoilers.
Yeah, if you haven't played Mega Man 3 yet. So Proto Man's, which I don't know actually what color Proto Man's hair is, because I guess it's
clear.
Clear. It's not zero, so it's not blonde. But that's my anime hair.
Awesome.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
I dig it. I'm glad you've grown back your anime hair, Ramon. The last time I saw you, you had buzzed most of it off.
Yeah, I was joining a cult. It's a dark time. That was 35 pounds ago.
Hey, man, the Nurgle needed you.
Yeah. Apparently, the more hair I have, the less weight I have. So I'm actually going to go Super Saiyan 4 here pretty soon.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. I would say what we're doing next, but I can't remember.
It might be Catherine, but I really don't know.
It might be Catherine. We're going to try.
That game gave me nightmares.
I think it's going to be tough. Yeah. I think it's going to be like a situation where one of us finishes Catherine and gives it to the other person the day we're supposed to record.
So remember when earlier in the episode where I said I was jerking it and crying? That's how Catherine makes me feel.
Oh, can I play it first?
No, we're going to play it together. So there'll be an episode. You have to see what it is.
Are you sad? Yeah, Dave. Are you jerking it? Yeah, me too.
I want to use your tears as lube. Come here.
Let's do the stranger.
You know what we still love?
What's that?
Still precious to us. Our 5-star written iTunes reviews.
Brandon Johnson.
We love them. We love Brandon Johnson's.
Blur jerps.
With blur jerps. We don't know. You want a blow job? I don't know. No thanks. I'm one of those guys that's just not into that. Thank you, though.
I hope you take this as an insult. I think you're really gross and don't want your mouth around my stuff.
I don't know. If you're willing to do that, you've probably done it before and gross. So, yeah. No, thank you.
13-year-old pre-pubescent race aren't working for me.
So please, go to iTunes. If you like the show, give us a 5-star review. Write something for it. We'll try to further incentivize that. So if there's a game you want us to play or a guest host you want for it, include that. We'll write it on the on the bottom of the eventually list.
Or the top, depending on if we
want to play it or not.
Yeah, unless you say John Turley, because that's just going to happen anyway.
Put it on the burger bottom.
Put it on the burger bottom.
By the way, by the time this releases, it will not be. But while we're recording right now, it is John Turley Burger Bottom's birthday. It's a burger birthday bottom. So if you're listening.
Special request.
What?
We want to do a special happy birthday?
Well, we'll hold the pickles. And that's the special birthday request. No right. Pickles.
So happy birthday, John Turley, of every fucking Wednesday.
happy birthday, John.
So whatever's on that list, whatever's in the very burger bottom of that list, we promise we will get to it eventually.
Eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about sadness and jerking it.
Spoilers.
I'll chart my masturbations and assign anime hair to each session. It's going to be a pretty weird episode. In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. Who the fuck knows what's going to be in there? Plenty of we're just going to find every Brandon Johnson on LinkedIn and we're going to post a link to every profile.
It's going to be Brandon Johnson and Fiddler on the Roof clips. That's going to be about it.
All those Brandon Johnsons and HR are going to be like, holy shit, my LinkedIn profile is blowing up. Look at all these views I got. You can also find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/tadpog. There's a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. You got something to say about this episode? You got something to say about Shovel Knight? That is a really good place to put it. Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter. We're at tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you for everybody who is tweeting at us and especially retweeting our posts about episodes. That is incredibly helpful and really makes my day when I see all of you taking the time to do that. So thank you. You can call us if you want. If you have something to say, leave us a voicemail at 270-883-2555. You can also text if you would like, but I can almost guarantee you that I will fuck it up while reading it. So that is up to you. If you would rather put me on the spot, you can do that. But otherwise, give us a call. Keep it under 3 minutes if possible. We love questions about trampolines, Golden Girls, Ninja Turtles, and anything else, I guess.
Yeah, really anything.
Pretty much.
Anything. We'll take it all. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
Brandon, who's your favorite Brandon Johnson? Something
Brandon
like that.
Johnson. Favorite place you've ever had a Brandon Johnson?
Yeah.
Whichever.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had a Brandon Johnson from a Brandon Johnson? Call in, let us know.
Please. At a Howard Johnson.
How you want to close it out? Well, I guess Ramon.
Yeah, Ramon's pick.
Our theme song.
It's Moves by Sycamore Drive. Duh.
Nailed
it. You can find a link to the soundtrack in the show notes below.
Nice.
Excellent.
Got it.
How would you like to close out the show, Ramon? Classic Josh, or would you like a different impression?
Well, I mean, I'm always down for the classic Josh.
All right.
I have to remind Jacob York to get to the fucking gym today.
I also saw that Facebook
post. Brodivation.
Brodivation. So that's my thing for Jacob. So get to the fucking gym. I mean, we can always do a Josh Nance. But I mean, obviously we could do a tropical Capricorn. But we could do tropical Capricorn whatever way you guys want to do. That's you know, we could do it as tradition.
You do Josh Nance singing tradition style closing?
Yeah, we could do that. Do we just want to sing tradition as Josh Nance?
Well, we have to work tropical Capricorn in there somehow.
Okay. Traditional Capricorn?
Okay. Okay.
So traditional Capricorn.
Yes, it's settled.
As Josh, and we have to sing it.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, I'll sing bass. Ready?
Oh, wait, are we doing, so we're doing 3-point harmony. Okay, got it. What key is this in?
It's more than
it's the key of Josh.
The key of Josh.
There's only one register for Josh.
So I'll sing traditional Capricorn, and then I guess Dave, and then Tyler, and probably me.
Okay.
So right. Until next time.
Traditional Capricorn.
Traditional Capricorn.
Traditional Capricorn.
You're the only one who did it as Josh. I forgot.
There's so much going on.
This is the most complicated fucking troubled category we've ever done. I think it depends on whether or not someone held a pocket knife to your neck, which happened to me.
Oh, fuck.